Joining us on the phone to talk about one aspect of reporting this story is Washington Post columnist Geneva Overholzer. She was that newspaper's ombudsman for 3 years and is the former editor of the Des Moines Register. Geneva, this is an interesting moment for news organizations, particularly for the New York Times, which has a big story about the possibility that a government official could go to jail for talking to them. Now, of course, it's not illegal for a reporter to receive a leak or even to publish a leak. But still, what about the dilemma that is implicit in this story that the New York Times knows who leaked information to them? Well, they know if it was Bakaly or if it was not Bakaly. Now, what's their move?
That is a dilemma. And I think that that's the kind of thing that's going to leave readers saying, now, wait a minute, you know, whose side is who on here? Are these folks all in some kind of collusion? Because certainly the Times will not reveal its sources. You noticed in this morning's story, the Washington bureau chief saying we don't discuss our sources. I remember at the time they said the same thing, we don't discuss our sources, and certainly most newspapers would say exactly that. But I think that leaves the reader wondering, then where do I fit in all of this? How am I supposed to know what information is credible and who is being responsible to me? And I have a feeling that the reader is beginning to lose patience for this kind of thing.
Well, there's also the problem of what if Mr. Bakaly is not the leak? I mean, what if the New York Times could exonerate him?
Exactly. It puts the Times in a terrible position ethically because, as you know, there's a long-standing rule that we in the media will not expose our sources, and I think it's a strong rule that generally serves the public when the rule is correctly applied, and that is that if we use an anonymous source because we feel the information is so critical that we'll go ahead and do that despite the cost, then we're protecting that source. And if something like this comes out, then what do we do? I mean, we've got a covenant with the original source. What if Bakaly isn't the one who did it?
It's not entirely unusual for a reporter to take somebody off the hook. I mean, you do occasionally have a reporter say something like, I'm not going to talk about who was my source, but so-and-so was not my source.
I've certainly seen that, yes.
Is there anything wrong or right with that, do you think?
Well, it seems to me that in a case like this, we can see what would be the virtue of that, although one of the problems, of course, is that it tends to, in some instances, it tends to finger someone else, rather obviously or not so obviously.
Do you think that the practice of using anonymous sources is getting out of hand? It used to be a far rarer thing than it is now.
Indeed, and I think most news organizations have strong prohibitions against the use with a few exceptions. I must say that I think part of the issue here is not so much how the practice works inside the newspaper as whether or not the newspaper has become more comfortable with anonymity than I think, and than I think a lot of readers think that newspapers really ought to. And when we lower the bar against their use this much so that we're willing to let people sort of say whatever they want to say and you know, without putting themselves on any kind of hook, then I think we get ourselves into these situations where we're then extending the favor of protecting the source, but we have perhaps done it all in the first place without having thought it through as carefully as we should have.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Geneva Overholzer is a columnist for the Washington Post and the paper's former ombudsman. She spoke to us from her home here in Washington.